The Lord be with you. How do you understand Scripture? How do you make sense of what you find written in the Gospel? We, as Christians generally, and as Lutherans specifically, make sense of what we find in the Bible, Old Testament and New, by understanding it through Jesus. We do this because that's what Jesus does. In today's gospel lesson from Luke 4, we see Jesus preach his first sermon. And before he preaches, like we do here, he stands to read the scripture. And the scripture that he reads comes from Isaiah 61. And it goes like this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then, having read these words, words written 500 years before Jesus was born, Jesus says to his congregation, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And the congregation goes wild. They go wild because when the prophet Isaiah first spoke these words 500 years ago, he meant them literally. The Jewish people were literally poor captives in Babylon. And Isaiah was literally proclaiming to them the good news of King Cyrus of Persia's decree that they could at last go home. People who had lived their whole lives in captivity, whose eyes had never seen their homeland, would at last get to go see the promised land. And importantly, Isaiah says, when you get there, celebrate the year of the Lord's favor, which is also known as the Jubilee year. It's the year when all debts are forgiven. If someone had sold their family farm to pay their bills, the family farm was to be returned to them. Isaiah is saying, not only are we all going to get home, we're all going home together, and we're going to do it with a clean slate and a fresh start for everyone. And most of that came to pass. The Jewish people did indeed get to go home from their captivity, but they weren't so clean on this, like, forgiving everyone's debt and giving everyone a fresh start kind of thing. And so corruption and inequality once again grew in society, and the Jewish people were once again conquered and held captive, this time in Jesus' life, by the Romans. And the people in Jesus' congregation would, by and large, have been poor people. People who felt captive under the oppressive weight of debt imposed on them largely by their Roman oppressors. And so when Jesus says to them, "Today these words that Isaiah spoke are fulfilled in your hearing," these people are so excited because it's good news for them. Except that if you read the Gospels, Jesus doesn't really do the things that Isaiah just said, right? I mean, yes, Jesus does heal three men who were blind. Yes, Jesus does provide loaves and fishes for several thousand poor folks. But in terms of releasing the captives, not so much. In terms of ending oppression, certainly Jesus didn't end Roman oppression. In terms of forgiving all debt or redistributing land, that doesn't happen. And now maybe you're sitting there in the pews thinking to yourself, "Pastor, come on, you're taking this way too literally, right? Jesus does all these things on a spiritual level. The poverty, right? Good news for the poor. He says, 'Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God.' He's saying he's got good news for the poor. Life's going to be better after they die." Right? He does indeed provide release to the captives. We are captive to death and hell, and he sets us free from those things. Recovery of sight is a recovery of our spiritual sight, a healing of our spiritual blindness. Jesus frees us from the oppression of sin by forgiving our debts and our trespasses. And if you were to say that to me, I would say, I agree with Jesus doing all those things. Yes, praise be to God. Amen. Jesus is my Redeemer. I would not be standing here if that were not the case. But as Lutherans, we struggle with the idea of either or. We do much better with both and. If you ask us, is someone either a saint or a sinner? We'll say, ah, that person is both a saint and a sinner. If you ask us, well, is Jesus human or divine? We'll say, Jesus is both human and divine. If you ask us, is the kingdom of God now or in the future? We'll say, the kingdom of God is both now and yet to come. And if you ask, when Jesus talks about the fulfillment of Isaiah 61's prophecy, is he speaking literally, physically, or spiritually and metaphorically? I will say, well, let's talk more about the spiritual blindness that he heals us from. What exactly is this blindness that we need to be healed from? What is it that Jesus wants us to see? The Apostle Paul has an answer for that. His letter to the Corinthians, his first letter, like most of Paul's letters, is written to a church experiencing conflict. And the church is experiencing conflict because there's all these divisions around their differences. Differences in ethnicity, differences in social class, even differences in spiritual gifts. And so Paul says to them, don't you realize the body has many parts? And though the parts are many, they are all one body. And so it is with Christ. For in the Spirit, we have all been baptized into one body of Christ, Gentile and Jew, slave or free. What Paul is saying is that our differences aren't a reason for us to be separated from each other. In fact, our differences are necessary for us to have a full and abundant life together. Because just like a body, we need different parts to work, right? Your body only works because it has different parts of it. Paul says, right, we can't all be an eye, or we can't all just be an ear. And I love that his example with this, he says, if the body were an eye, where would the hearing be? So imagine that, right? Your whole body is just a giant eyeball. And Paul says, the problem is you wouldn't be able to hear anything. Not that, like, you wouldn't have any legs, and so wherever the wind blows, you'd roll, and you don't have an eyelid, so every rock would jab you in the eye, and you don't have a mouth, so you can't scream in pain. But no, Paul, yes, it's the lack of hearing that's going to be the problem. To say, we need all these different parts in our body to be alive. And each of these different parts of the body, though they seem radically different from each other, they share one life. If one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers. If one part of the body is healthy, it improves the health of the rest of the body. Now imagine I were standing up here and all of a sudden I go, I got this sharp pain on the left side of my chest. And you said to me, Pastor, it sounds like you're having a heart attack. You should call 911. And I said, what? It's my heart that's having a heart attack. Why should my hand have to reach into my pocket and grab my phone? It's my heart that's having a heart attack. Why should my fingers do all the work of dialing these numbers? Why should my mouth go through the hassle of talking to a dispatcher? You'd say, what is wrong with this guy? Doesn't he realize if his heart goes, it's going to affect his hands and his fingers and his mouth? Come on. And yet this is what we do constantly, right? We see someone sleeping out in the cold on the street, and we say to ourselves, well, that's not my problem. As if we can get a good night's sleep with our arms sticking out the window in the middle of a snowstorm. Or someone says something that we disagree with and we say, we're going to cut that person out of our lives forever, as if the way to solve a part of your body hurting is to take a cleaver to it. If that were to happen every time it would rain here, half of our congregation would chop off their knees. And yet this is what we do. And so Paul says, why are people doing this to their own body? He says it must be because they're blind. It must be that they don't realize that we are all connected on this most profound and life-giving way. And so the way we recover sight is through baptism. In baptism, we plunge someone under the waters of promise and we pull them out and we recognize, oh, this person is a part of me, a part of my body that I didn't see before. Suddenly, our neighbor pulled out of the waters of baptism is recognized as our arm, which gives us strength. Suddenly, a stranger comes out of the waters of baptism and is recognized as the ear, which helps us hear. Suddenly, that person that kind of annoys us comes out of the water and we recognize that's our large intestine, right? We don't like what comes out of it, but we need it to be healthy. To say we are all part of the same body. And when we realize that, when we realize that everybody is a part of our body, suddenly we become the ones upon whom God's Spirit has descended. We become the ones who have been anointed to proclaim good news to the poor and the year of the Lord's favor, because suddenly we realize, hey, wait a minute. If my neighbor doesn't have economic security and becomes desperate, well, I'm sure not going to have economic security. Suddenly, when we realize that everybody is a part of our body, we become the ones who are anointed to provide recovery of sight to the blind. Because suddenly, the health and well-being of my neighbor matters, right? If my neighbor doesn't have mental health care and is now running down the street screaming, that's going to affect my mental health, yeah? And in this pandemic, we have learned that it doesn't matter how healthy we take care of ourselves in Chico, if people on continents on the other side of the world are getting sick and spreading it, it's going to affect our very daily life here. When we realize that everybody is a part of our body, suddenly we become the ones who proclaim release to the captives and liberty to the oppressed. Because suddenly we realize that if we just lock away a higher percentage of our population than any other nation in the world does, which we do, we are locking up our own hands, the hands which should be raising the children in our neighborhood, the hands which should be caring for our elders in their final years. Yes, Jesus is our spiritual redeemer, and that is necessary because we can always think of a reason why we say, you know what, that part of the body did something that I don't like, and so I shouldn't have to help that part of the body. And so Jesus forgives us our sins and our trespasses so that we might forgive those who trespass against us and get back to the work of healing each other, making our body whole. For Jesus, he is our spiritual redeemer. And if you ask me, Pastor, when he talks about the fulfillment of Isaiah 61, is he talking about fulfilling that passage literally or metaphorically? Is he talking about fulfilling it physically or spiritually? Is he talking about either him doing it or us doing it? I will smile and say, yes, and. Jesus opens our eyes and sets free our souls on a spiritual level so that we can set each other free and heal each other on a physical level. For Jesus, the scriptures are not stories written about something that happened 500 years ago. They are about what God is doing now. To read the scriptures as Jesus does is to say this is not about something that happened 2,000 years ago. This is about what God is doing now, understanding God's work in the world through the life of Jesus, whose body we are together as the body of Christ. So that when we read the words of Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, we can say, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing Because that is what Jesus said to us. Amen.